LaShonda, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Bound for Glory conference call. Thank you. I will now turn today's call over to Mr. Jeremy Borash to begin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, Mr. Jeremy Borash here. Good to see everybody. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for being on the call. It's Bound for Glory weekend, the T&A Bound for Glory conference call going on. And we have two very special guests, the men who compete for the T&A World Heavyweight Championship. This Sunday, Bound for Glory in Charlotte, EC3, and Drew Galloway. We are going to let you guys open it up right out of the gate here. You'll have the first opportunity to ask one question in the first round and can come back in the call for additional questions afterwards. All right, let's open it up. If you want to ask a question, here is how you do it.
To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Star 1.
And our first question comes from the line of Mike Johnson with pwinsider.com.
PW Insider, that's a new one. Hello, gentlemen. Obviously, it's Mike from PW Insider. How are you?
I'm well, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing good. Question for each of you. Obviously, this is Bound for Glory. It's TNA's biggest show of the year. It's been an interesting year with a lot of up and downs for TNA. The focus and the spotlight will be on each of you to set the stage for the end of 2015 going into 2016 for TNA. What type of pressure does that put on each of you personally and collectively? And is that pressure you want? Because if you guys come out of this with a great match for the ages and get people talking about the wrestling within the ring as opposed to a lot of the extraneous stuff outside of your personal control, it'll probably be a big positive for TNA going forward. So what's that pressure like for yourselves personally and professionally, and is it pressure you welcome?
Well, seeing as I'm the World Heavyweight Champion, I'll go ahead and answer this question first. Mike from PW1 Insider, I would just like to say that personally I feel no pressure because I am completely confident in my abilities and the abilities of my opponent, Drew Galloway, to do exactly what you said and just, you know, deliver a match for the ages, tear the house down. It's our opportunity. It's our company now. We are at the forefront. We are the guys that want it the most, and we're the guys that are going to do it the best. And as far as pressure, you can feel pressure, but I feel nothing but confidence.
That's a heck of an answer from the champ. I pretty much feel exactly the same. With both of us, you've got a couple of guys that just love this business, wanted the opportunity. In the past year, with himself and TNA, or the past couple of years, himself and TNA, I've been given the ball. Myself, when I was gone from WWE, come running out the gate to the independent scene, made my name, came to TNA, also got given the opportunity, got given the ball, ran with it, they believed in us, and that's all we want. We don't feel pressure. We feel opportunity. And trust me, we'll both deliver. We're excited about it. We're fired up. And this is the match of our lifetime. It's a big match for TNA.
All right. Hopefully I get a chance to jump back in here. I thank you guys for your time.
Thank you, Michael.
Cheers, Mike.
Our next question comes from the line of Mads Schwartz with Wrestling Radio Germany.
Thank you so much. It's Wrestling Talk Radio. Hi, guys. First of all, let me say I'm really looking forward to Sunday's pay-per-view in general because I think it's stacked to the deck and especially to the main event match between you guys. Question for the both of you. Seeing that you have faced each other with one of the first title defenses of Ethan after he beat Kurt Angle, winning the title in July. So, Drew, what have you learned from this battle, scouting since then of the champion and walking into the match on Sunday and walking out the winner? And for Ethan, how do you plan on repeating the first victory against Drew and seeing the wave of momentum he is on into Sunday's main event battle?
Well, for myself, it would help if Felix Drake doesn't get involved. But what I also learned, it was my first opportunity at the world title, as well as one of EC3's first defenses, is that not only is he a complete entertainer, like in the ring, he can get it done as well. You don't know what somebody can truly do in the ring until you get in there with them. You can watch, you can assume, you can guess, especially if you're a performer yourself. But until you're in the ring with somebody, you don't know what somebody can bring. And he can bring it just as well in the ring as he can outside of the ring. And coming into this match, I've been training hard. The past couple of weeks, the past 10 days, I've been in Australia, UK, darting all over the place, having some hard-hitting, hard matches. It's all in preparation for the biggest match of my life. And I'm coming in ready, and I know he's coming in ready. We guarantee you one hell of a fight, never mind a wrestling match.
Yeah, I mean, going off of what Drew just said there, you know, I've been working really hard myself preparing for this match. I've been taking a lot of naps. I've been getting a lot of massages. I've been, just focusing on keeping my body in shape as far as the hard-hitting matches. Maybe not so much across the world like Drew's doing, but that is because I don't need to do that because I am the world heavyweight champion. And the last time I faced Drew Galloway, I'll be honest, I caught a break. I caught a break in the interference of an Eli Drake. But this is a different story. This is a different show. This is Bound for Glory. This is the biggest match of the year for TNA, and there will be no shenanigans of that nature. This will be hard-hitting. This will be an epic contest, and I always deliver when the lights are the brightest.
Thank you so much. Really looking forward to it. Hopefully come back on later on.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Our next question comes from the mind of Zillian Verini with MCS.
Hello, guys. This is Cillian from France. How's it going?
What up, France?
Bonjour. Bonjour, Ethan. So I just wanted to tell you, it was announced a few days ago that we will be airing Bound for Glory live on Mesh and Spa on French TV in a few days, and it's a real honor. It's always a treat to see you guys perform. And, of course, I think the whole country of France is looking forward to celebrate with Ethan after his victory on Sunday night.
Well, yes, I am.
And I was wondering,
I'm an honorary Frenchman, Drew. I don't know if you know that. Honorary Frenchman right here.
Yeah,
I love France. I've been there so much.
As you know, guys, there's a huge time difference. So the live show will be airing from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. And we will be there, of course, to do a live commentary. But what can you say to the international audience to make them stay awake until the early morning to see a show like Battle for Glory?
Well, first, my one feeling is hurt, fighting with EC3 as being a fellow European. But what I would say is back in the day when I was a kid and staying up for the pay-per-views, it was the same deal, 2 a.m. every Sunday night and then going into school the next day. But you stay up for it because you know you're going to get a heck of a show. You know you're going to be entertained. Be it like when you're a kid when I first started staying up to that time and just... You know, different reasons as when I got older. I'm just so excited, just the spectacle of it all and the matches. It's the exact same reason, and the fact that it's a new announcement, a big deal in France. Like, I'm going to tell France right now, like, France, your fellow European is not going to let you down. Don't listen to this journalist. I know you're with Drew Galloway, and we guarantee the show of a lifetime, and I'm doing it for Europe.
That's good. Yeah, going off of what Drew said, I mean, every European professional wrestler I've met that has had any success, I've always heard the stories that they've stayed up and watched the pay-per-views live and, like, you know, a guy like Drew or, like, Spud, any of those guys. So, you know, that's cool. They have passion. But, I mean, for the fans, I would recommend how do you stay awake? It's by following the Da Vinci sleep pattern. You sleep 20 minutes every 2 hours throughout the day. That should keep you refreshed, energized, ready for Bound for Glory, no matter what time it comes on.
Yeah, but Kramer,
a European, just Drake. I just realized I'm talking to a European. The answer's simple. As long as you're over 18, of course. I can keep this PG. Just Drake, for goodness sake. Make a night of it. It's a heck of a night. It's the biggest night of the year. Get your mates together. Get smashed. Have a hell of a party, and it's a hell of a show. Simple. God, I just realized I'm talking to Europe. I'm talking to France.
There you go.
Boom.
I like this.
So big, thank you. Of course, we're looking forward for Sunday night, and we'll be up all night to encourage all you guys for the show.
Très bien. Merci beaucoup.
Merci.
Merci.
Merci à vous deux.
Our next question comes from the line of Scott Fishman with Miami Herald.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Scott.
First, for EC3, did you feel vindicated? Was it a feeling of vindication when you won the TNA Heavyweight Championship and you got, you know, such positive response when that night, when the show actually aired? And also, for Drew, TNA has been kind of like this rebuilding period when you initially came to TNA. So just talk about that, what that experience has been like for you.
Yeah, personally, as the World Heavyweight Champion, there was an immediate sense of vindication. But upon that sense of vindication, it immediately left me because I know now that the hard work begins. You know, being chased is harder than the chase. So, yes, there was vindication, but I can only rest on the success for a short time before I can move on to the next thing, and that's becoming the greatest TNA champion of all time.
And I'm trying to remember my question.
When you initially signed, it was kind of like TNA has been in this rebuilding period with a lot of newer stars. You kind of came in an interesting year, as Mike pointed out earlier. Just what was it like to be coming into this? You know, you hear all the stories and rumors and things like that, but you got to experience, you know, TNA coming in. Just talk about what that experience has been like for you this year.
Well, I came in after speaking to Big. I don't know if y'all have heard the story. I know some of y'all will. Obviously yourself and Mike. I had no goals. I've been back on American television so quickly. I'd just been gone from WWE for about 6-7 months. I was really making a name for myself on the underground. I was happy. I just didn't want to be back on TV just yet. And I spoke with Big, and he made it clear to me, like, there's some big things coming. You know, we're going a different direction. We're really going to give some younger guys an opportunity, like you say. Rebuilding, we want you to be part of that. Like, he knows me, I've known him since I was 22. I know the lads on the roster, like EC3 and the likes that have been around over the years, and I knew it was a good bunch of guys. And I said, what's the worst that can happen? I came in, I saw the locker room, I saw how dedicated everybody was, how passionate everybody was, and how good everybody was, and I knew right away, there's no way this is not going to work. This is a great environment to be around. It's a great television show, and the backstage staff are great. The bosses are great. The boys are amazing. And more importantly, it is a wrestling show. Everybody gets it done in the ring. And to be like a focal point of that with EC3, like somebody I've known for so many years, and just knowing what we're like. And trust me, the rest of the roster are just like us. They're just as passionate. They're just as fired up. It's a very cool environment, very cool thing to be part of. And the only way is up, trust me.
All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Scotty.
And as a reminder, to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. And our next question comes from the line of Shane Bayless with Steel Chair.
Hi, guys. My question,
Shane, what's up?
How you doing? My question is actually Drew. When we spoke earlier in the year, you said that you wanted to emulate Ric Flair and kind of be a traveling champion, as you have done with the other titles that you've held over the course of the year. Is that something that's kind of come to your mind now that you've got this title shot? Have you kind of discussed it with Dixie and those guys, whether you will be able to take that title and tour it across the world?
Well, I've not discussed it with management, but I've certainly discussed it with myself. Over the past, it's just over a year now, I've had a very clear plan in my head. I've always had this clear plan in my head when it came to professional wrestling, being a professional wrestler. And that was simply just travel the world, wrestle as myself, talk as myself. And I've been able to do it everywhere, especially TNA. And like you say, I've had the opportunity to compete for all these titles. I've been fortunate enough to win the ICW title, the SWA title, the Danish title, the Australian title, the Evolve title, the Dragon Gate title. If I'm missing any out, please help me out. But the ultimate goal is the TNA title. And like you say, my goal is to be the first traveling world champion since Ric Flair. If I'm able to win that TNA title and take that across the world, then I'm pretty sure that's as close as it's going to come to emulating somebody like Flair. That era is never going to exist again, but that's something that's been a dream of mine, to recreate something similar. And winning the TNA world title and taking it across the world would be my version of being the first modern traveling world champion since Ric Flair.
Well,
Yeah, what Drew's saying is, you know, good in theory, but it's also something that I'm currently doing as the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. I don't know if people are realizing I am traveling to all sorts of illustrious places like worldwide, you know, like Boise, Idaho, and Detroit, Michigan, and Omaha, Nebraska, you know, and I'm defending the world title there against some of the best competition those local podunk tin can promotions have. So, you know, I'm also in the mold of a Ric Flair, a traveling world champion. So, thanks. Thanks, Sean.
Good answer.
Our next question comes from the line of Jonathan Williams with WrestlingWithPopCulture.com.
Hey, guys. Segueing or keeping with the international theme, I guess, looking a little bit past Bound for Glory, TNA has a few shows in the Louisiana area later in October and early November, and then you're off to England, where TNA traditionally has a lot more success, it seems, than they do in the U.S. for the most part. So I guess my question to both of you is, you know, if you leave Bound for Glory with the title and successfully have it as of January when you go to England, what does that mean to you guys going somewhere where TNA is such a big deal and representing the company as a champion?
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, yes, thank you for the plug for the Hardcore Halloween Tour. That is going to be a great series of live events that only TNA Impact Wrestling can bring to you live. Check ImpactWrestling.com for more details. As far as going to England as the World Heavyweight Champion, that is fully my intention to represent this brand globally, to go to one of our hottest markets as the champion. I mean, last year was interesting because we're kind of paralleled to where we are now, where not only did I become the megastar that I am in that standout performance against Rockstar Spud, but Drew Galloway also debuted.
Right.
So, you know, that's a year. That's a year of parallels, and now here we are at Bound for Glory, going to lock horns, do some battle, see who truly wants it the most. But when we go over to England, I fully intend on still being the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, as I fully intend on never losing the TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
And just going off of what Champ said, it is coming up for a year in the making, and both of us have made some huge, huge strides, you know, especially themselves, cementing themselves as a, you know, not just one of the top entertainers, like literally one of the top entertainers, not the top entertainer, but also top in-ring competitors. We check that PWF 500, he's got me beat right there. But, I tend to fix it. That's a big, big deal. But, yeah, like, coming up in this tour, like, this is, you know, the biggest deal. Like for Drew Galloway to come home champion, like that's the UK. It's my home market. It's our, one of our strongest markets, and it's the wildest, the best wrestling fans. To put simply, like right now in the independent scene in the UK, it is absolutely on fire. Like as you all know, I travel the world. I see all the different scenes, and right now on the lower like scene in independence, you can't call it lower because these places are selling out 2,000-3,000 people every single month. It is on fire, and they're excited to see TNA when they come over. Like, when I explain to the boys, everybody always asks me, what is it about the UK that makes them different? And I always explain, and I've told you a few of you this before, but I'll repeat it again, because it just fires me up and stumbles my words when I talk about it, because I get all amped up about it. It's like a soccer crowd, a football crowd. If you've ever been to a professional American sport, like, half the time you'll be sitting there, and, like, a dad will stand up and shout something, and people will give him the look of disgust because he stood up and shouted something. And football and soccer back home, if you're not standing up and shouting something, you're getting your ass kicked, you're getting a bottle off your head, you better be loud and crazy, making noise the entire show, doing chants the entire show, getting into it, being passionate. And that's the kind of fans we've got coming to these shows. And to come home champion in front of these wild, crazy maniacs would be the greatest thing ever. And if I don't come home champion in front of these wild, crazy maniacs, they might just bottle me anyway.
I'm actually fearing my life going back now. Thank you for that, Drew.
You should be. I'm fearing not winning going back.
Our next question comes from the line of Lee Med with Alive Radio.
Yeah, JP is actually going to ask this question for you guys.
Guys, he had stuff off, but he wanted to know, Sunday's matchup going in, do you expect it to be a Mat Classic, or do you expect it to be more of an all-out brawl, or maybe a little bit of both? Let's go to the champ first.
Well, you went to the right place because I see it being both. I can see us killing each other out. I can see Mat Classic developing. I can see the over-aggressiveness and the mistake-prone Drew Galloway trying to take advantage by making it a brawl, and then I can see myself retaining the title via of one of my many finishers, whether it's a one percenter, the schoolboy, or the sunset flip.
Yeah, interesting answer. Interesting answer. I'll probably go somewhere similar, except I won't go mistake prone for the aggression. I know it's like 15 years, or I'm 30 now, 30 years of aggression, but 15 years as a wrestler of aggression. I think I've honed it in the right direction now. I've put my aggression in the right direction. But yeah, I can pretty much predict we're going to go out there and give you a little bit of everything, all the best parts of professional wrestling. There'll be a feeling out process. Hell, there might be even a little bit of comedy. There's going to be aggression. There's going to be some big near falls, and there's going to be a big finish. So, like, I guarantee it's going to incorporate every single thing everybody loves about professional wrestling. We're going all out. We're leaving it all out there and expect some big, bad bumps as well. I can guarantee that.
You're hard-pressed in this industry to find a more aggressive guy than Drew, a guy that delivers strikes like Drew. So, yeah, it's going to be physical, and I'm prepared for it. You know, I'm Teflon. I'm indestructible. I'm unbendable, unbreakable, unbeatable, undefeated, undisputed. You know, so either way, Mat Classic, all-out fight. It's going to be great.
Agreed.
Our next question comes from the line of Rory Bailey with Venom Magazine.
Hi guys, this is Rory from Team Venom Wrestling Media in the UK. My question to you both is a what-if question. Basically, Ethan, what happens if come Sunday Drew beats you, becomes the man, takes the title, where do you go next?
No comment, because I can't comment on false things. I can't comment on things that I don't foresee happening. If Drew were to defeat me and my title reign, my streak, at this juncture, I don't know how I would react, but I don't need to worry how I would react because it's not going to happen.
Fair enough. And obviously, Drew, what happens if you beat him?
Well, if you were listening earlier, I'm just going to keep continuing what Drew Galloway does. I'm going to keep performing across the world, but I'm taking that TNA title with me. That becomes the crown jewel of my titles, and I take it around the world and become the first traveling world champion since Ric Flair. So simple as that. It's my ultimate goal. It's something I've had in my mind for a long time, and this Sunday I have the opportunity to make it happen in the biggest match of my life.
Okay, well, thank you both very much. It was great seeing you both at this year's Impact Tour, and we'll see you in January.
See you then, buddy.
Hell yeah. Brony beer.
Pint went for me.
Crazy UK people.
Heck yeah.
Our next question comes from the line of Craig Hermit with Total Wrestling Magazine.
Hi there, guys. Hope you're having a good evening so far. Just want to say, 2 years ago, EC3, you debuted at Bound for Glory. Drew, you debuted in Glasgow on the UK tour. So my main question is, what does it feel like to be headlining TNA's biggest show of the year within such a short time frame?
I think for me, 2 years since my debut, this is exactly where I expected myself to be. It feels, as I said earlier, a sense of vindication, but it also feels this sense of responsibility to deliver. I've been, you know, given this opportunity. I have to live up to it, and I tend to do that every time I step in the ring, no matter what. Work the hardest, always deliver, be awesome. EC3, he's the champ.
And I guess for myself, it was just a big deal for me just to wrestle. You know, that's what's going to make me happy, just coming off of the run I had. All I wanted to do was wrestle, have time to wrestle, have the opportunity to be Drew Galloway. And I would never have come in under any funny name or Drew McGee or Drew the Bloody Highlander or anything like that. I was always going to be Drew Galloway, no matter where I go. I'm very, very, you know, I'm going to put my foot down with certain things right now, and all I put my foot down with is just let me be myself, and just if you let me wrestle, I don't care where I am on the show, if I'm starting or whatever, and my big goal was just to wrestle. But also, inevitably, you want to work your way up, and if what you're doing gets people's attention, and then, you know, you are deserving of the opportunity. And I don't just say that to sound like a big suck-up. I know half the time when I'm ranting and raving, saying my stuff, some people are like, ah, Drew's going on again about wrestling. But here's the thing, that's all I think about. It's all I know. It's all I love if I'm ranting and raving. And it upsets people. And screw you, I don't care. I'm not going to shut up about it. I'll keep going and going and going until your ears bleed. But for most people, they react positively. Like the crowd been reacting positively. Backstage been reacting positively. The boys have been reacting positive to what I do in the ring. And that's pretty cool for me because this is my life's work. And all I want to do is be a professional wrestler. And to get this opportunity for just doing what I love is bloody crazy.
Yeah, guys, word there. No, don't cut off the champ. The champ's talking. Drew mentioned something, life's work, and yeah, this World Heavyweight title is my life's work, and I just would like to commend Drew before I defeat him on, it's outstanding what can happen when a talent is allowed to be themselves and given an opportunity to get by on their own merits and be themselves, an extension of themselves, and succeed. So, commendable for Drew to come over here and do just that.
Right back at you, Jim. Yeah, that's exactly the way to be.
Guys, just want to say that was awesome. Great answers, and appreciate everything you guys do in the ring. Thanks.
Thank you, Philip.
Cheers.
And our next question comes from the line of Tim Petrowski with Der Wrestling Talk Germany.
Hi to both of you. My question is first to Drew. You are scheduled to appear in Kiel, Germany on October 16th for Maximum Wrestlings. What are the odds that we will see you there as a new TNA World Heavyweight Champion, and how are your thoughts about Germany? And then the answer to the answer from EC3, please.
Okay, well, yep, I'll be in Kiel, Germany on the 16th of October. Hopefully you saw my little promo I just filmed about 4 days ago at a show in Scotland, and I filmed one there. Sorry, I looked a little bit sickly. I've been suffering from the flu recently. But yeah, I'm excited. I love Germany. I've been to Germany many times over the years. If you've caught me over the years, I used to write down some German expressions and stick them in my tights if you were being to the shows a few years ago and pull them out because I used to always enjoy messing with the German crowd because it's such a, you know, such a great crowd. Like Bret Hart always talk about how great the German crowds are, and they really are. Just very knowledgeable and very excited to be there. Like, as you know, the Maximum are a great place to be. WXW, some wild fans. Germany is a cool, cool place. And I guarantee you, when I win the TNA title, I expect the biggest. I know Oktoberfest is going on. It's just about done. I expect Arnold to stay in Germany, keep the party going, get even more beers there, because I'm the biggest party of all time in Germany when I show up as TNA World Champion.
A little Tidally fans, Drew?
What's that?
And Tidally fans in Kiel, Drew.
Absolutely. What's my number one rule? If you know Drew Gallo, you know his number one rule. Anytime, anywhere. I defend my titles at the drop of a hat because I believe in myself and I know I'll get the job done. I may not get out the country alive, but I'll defend the title at least.
Yeah,
and
for
that,
hey, EC? Well, I'm gonna pop a little hot knowledge on all you right here right now. If German promotions want to book a world champion, they can just hit me up. It's bookec3@gmail.com, and, you know, maybe I can fill it in. But unfortunately, on October 16th, while Drew is in Germany, you know, doing his own thing, I will be doing very exclusive, very important TNA wrestling business because, you know, I am the world champion, franchise player, company built around me. Pretty cool. So I'm glad you guys are going to go have a good time in Germany, kicking back some beers, playing some Pong, doing whatever it takes, beer fest style. That's cool. I'll be working for TNA.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah. And nice greetings
not
from
bad,
Jeremy.
Not bad. So I might jump on that for one. I might have a sweet little quote in here. So I know right now. So you're TNA's chosen one right now, but like I'm professional wrestling's chosen one. I'll be TNA's chosen one. I'll be everyone else's chosen one I work for. I'm professional wrestling's chosen one. Even though you're thinking you're TNA's chosen one right now, Sunshine.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward
Hold
to
that.
This. Both of
Hold
you.
That.
Yeah. And nice greeting from Jeremy to you, Drew.
Wow. See you soon. Auf Wiedersehen.
And as a reminder, to ask a question or if you would like to ask a follow-up question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we do have a question from the line of Jeremy Barash.
Oh, yes, that's me, guys. Back again.
Oh, hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I got a question for you coming up tomorrow night on Impact on Destination America. Dixie Carter has said she has a huge Bound for Glory surprise. Gentlemen, any possible ideas or hints? Champ.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if AMD's business decisions regarding my title reign have been sporadic at best, but I can assume she's going to right the ship. She's going to right the ship tomorrow night on Destination Impact and announce a big, huge Bound for Glory surprise, which is that my world title match is going to be contested under Ethan rules, which would be, you know, great for the fans to see the first ever Ethan rules match. Very excited to bring that stipulation to Bound for Glory. I hope that's her big announcement, as it should be, if she's smart.
Well, you know, I love surprises. I don't get many surprises, but I love surprises. And considering that ODC3 turned his back and not only the company and the boys, but also his family, I'm curious to see myself. So I'm not going to go further than that. That I love surprises.
Yeah, I'm a piece of crap, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from the line of Kari Williams with Slam Wrestling.
Hi, this is Kari with Slam Wrestling. First of all, just I know both of you guys started, had careers in WWE beforehand, and then I guess you could say bigger careers in TNA. So how do you feel that both of you have grown as wrestlers since coming to TNA in the last few years?
Is this your first question? Yep. Did you tweet me earlier about this? Your first conference call?
Yes.
Yeah? How do you feel about it? You think it's good so far?
Yes, pretty good so far.
Okay, cool.
Pretty good.
As far as
pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty excellent. As far as your question...
Yeah, I like pretty excellent.
Yeah, like having the opportunity to be in TNA to grow here, I mean, just for so long being a wrestler, going through the system... Striving, trying, you know, knocking on different doors, calling different things, trying to make things happen, and it never really works out. When it came over to TNA, it all kind of came into place, and they believed in my talents, and they let me develop as a character, and, you know, I couldn't be happier, because without that form, you know, I'd just be a forgotten casualty in the wrestling business. But now I'm a, you know, world champion, and one of the, you know, hell, I'm the hottest act going today. Why not? I'll say it.
Yeah, for myself, like I've been wrestling since I was 15. I was just finishing university my last year when I got signed to come to America. I honestly didn't have a plan. I mean, I would have a criminology degree, and I would have probably started a regular job, but I never had a regular job. I'd always been a wrestler, my summer holidays, my Easter holidays, sometimes miss school, don't tell anybody. But that was always my job, and I had no goal. And luckily, I got signed in my last year. I came to America, just turned 22, was right on TV, grew up here. Developed here, learned the, you know, let's call it TV style or American style. It's a very different style over in Europe, and grew as a person and as a wrestler. And by the time I was ready, I perhaps never got, you know, the opportunities to showcase what I could do. Perhaps I wasn't so ready when I was younger. And thankfully, you know, once I was away from WWE, they're the reason I was able to get booked everywhere. I would never knock WWE. I'll never knock anybody there. They're the reason my name is what it is. The reason I get the opportunities I was given, and it was up to me to reinvent myself, because so many guys leave the company, like EC3 mentioned, and they're forgotten about. They disappear. They're happy to float under the radar, hoping to get signed one day. We're just not like that. We're not built like everybody else. We're the kind of guys that go out and say, screw that. We're not going to float under the radar, hoping to be noticed. We're going to go out and we're going to kick the doors down. We're going to make people notice us, because we believe in ourselves. We believe in our talent. We've been taught the right way. We've learned the right way. We've listened. We've pushed past because of ourselves. And thankfully, TNA has given us that platform to show the world what we're both truly capable of.
Damn, that was a good answer, Drew. That was such a good answer.
Thank you.
Hurt me personally to punch you in the mouth on Sunday, because that mouth just delivered gold. But yeah, he's absolutely right with that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
And our next question comes from the line of Cillian Varani with MCS.
Yeah, hi guys. Again from France. Yeah, I was doing my prep work for the show on Sunday night. We're airing it live on Ma Chaîne Sport, and I was thinking about something with Drew, especially. You know, for the past few months, you were riding with a couple of guys with the Rising, and from what I see, I was looking at the card from Bound for Glory. Eli Drake turned his back on you and is now wrestling on the card, and Micah kind of disappeared from the face of the earth. I was wondering, do you consider the Rising a complete bust?
No, absolutely not. I think the world got the opportunity to get their eyes on Micah, who, like, I know he's not doing anything right now, but he will pop back up. He's an incredible talent, incredible family history, great look, loves the business. And with Eli Drake, I was going against the Beatdown Clan. I can't fight four or five, however many guys I happen to have in that particular week by myself. So it gave me the opportunity to, you know, bring in these guys who genuinely just wanted a shot and the opportunity to show the world what they could do, and an opportunity for, you know, the feud to be believable, because I can't fight these guys by myself. And with Eli Drake, it's like, I know, like, when it came to, like, the speeches and stuff, like, for me, when I'm talking, that's genuinely how I feel. It comes across that way. It might sound a little forced when someone else delivers similar lines, because, you know, that's not them. All that stuff, all that talk is me, 100%. It's what I believe. 100% hopefully comes across that way. With Eli, you could always see something in him. You know, you could see there's something in this guy. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this. Maybe he'd make a good bad guy. Let me put it that way. And then eventually we got the opportunity when he turned on me, sort of got some attention. We had a little backstory behind us and created a feud. Without feuds in wrestling, then nobody pays attention. It's not going to get to the next level. We created at least an interesting feud, and everyone got to see the true Eli, that he is a 100% better bad guy. And then we had a little backstory, which led to him screwing me out the world title, so we've all got something we can go back to. So I don't think it was a bust at all. And then eventually, I'm back by myself. We've got that little storyline behind us. But I enjoyed my run with the guys. I can't wait to make it another opportunity. And Eli is going to be a very successful bad guy, because, like, just watch him on the screen. He's a very unlikable guy on the screen, and he's going to do just fine.
Yeah, going off what you said about the Rising. Hey, no, champ talk. No, talk about our aspiring talent. He's right about Eli Drake. The guy is very talented, and he couldn't put words to, like, what makes him, and you know, he's just a big piece of crap too, and I like that. I respect Eli Drake. I respect the way he talks his mind, he spits his business, he does things for himself. That's cool to me. He's been on my radar for a while. He's very impressive, and you know, he's another guy probably has a chip on the shoulder to prove something. And as far as Micah, I mean, I've known him for a very long time. Drew's absolutely right. He's one of the super talented, great look, great passion for the business. He just needs to find his inspiration. Like, he needs to find that chip on his shoulder too, that driving force, that angst to push him to be great, because he has all the tools.
What I was trying to say is that it wasn't a bust. As I have a lot of respect for both wrestlers. I was saying maybe as a leader of men, it was a bust under your leadership.
Oh, you're sending him a crappy leader. Good. You have such long-winded answers. Well, I guess it didn't work out the way I was hoping it would work out, but let me just quickly switch to, thankfully, I led GNA to victory against GFW, so as Drew as a leader, it worked out just fine.
Yeah, he's got a point. Thank you very much. I do have one more question for the champion, Ethan.
Sure.
There was a question that I was asked by a few fans by email, so I have to ask, what exactly is the official title of Tyrus? Is he your bodyguard, best friend, colleague, and what exactly is his salary? How much do you pay him for his service?
Well, you know, all of the above. He's a confidant, he's an associate, he's a friend, he's a best friend, he's a good friend. He's, you know, a bodyguard, yes, he's protecting a very huge investment TNA has made. His salary is beyond measure. He's well taken care of, compensated greatly. The big guy's always well clothed, well fed, and very happy being associated with me.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys for your answers. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
And our next question comes from the line of Matt Schwartz with Wrestling Radio Germany.
Yeah, Wrestling Talk Radio at wrestling-talk.de. Hi, it's me again. Guys, Earl Hebner is going into the Hall of Fame on Sunday. So what do you guys think should be a Hall of Fame worthy career? Might I add, he's going in well-deservingly. And when you guys decide to hang up the boots one day, what do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, personally, you know, Earl Hebner's so deserving of this honor to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, personally, having done battle with every TNA Hall of Famer, Earl Hebner was my toughest challenge, but I was able to defeat him, so he will always have my utmost respect and due diligence. But as far as where I'd ever hang up the boots, I see it two ways. I don't know if I want to, you know, a Hall of Fame induction as much as I want to be dragged from the business kicking and screaming, never to be seen again. That's my goal.
Yeah, good answer. If I can top that one. But yeah, well, Earl, like, nobody deserves it more than Earl Hebner. He's the most recognizable referee of all time. He's been around since the beginning of time. He was the only guy with an autographed copy of the Bible. He was refereeing matches with the dinosaurs, but he's been around forever. We all remember Earl Hebner, like, in every top situation. And for me, like, when I debuted in January, it was Grado and Al Snow in the last match of the night, and I jumped the barricade, cleared the BDC out of the ring. The last image of the night was Earl Hebner raising me and Grado's hands. I remember looking at Grado and laughing my head off and saying to him, would you ever imagine, like, being in Glasgow in the biggest arena in the main event? The last image of the night is Earl Hebner raising our hands, and we both just burst out laughing. We're just two guys from Ayr, Scotland. Scotland's a country of 5 million people. London has more people in it than Scotland. And this tiny town called Ayr in Scotland, we're both from there. That was a crazy, like, cool moment, and Earl deserves that. And for me, personally, you know, if they decide one day to put me in based on my work, that would be, like, an awesome, you know, thing, an awesome night, I guess, an awesome reason to wear a suit. But for me, if I'm happy in my career, I, you know, personally, I don't need anyone else to, you know, vindicate it in any other way, as long as I'm personally happy, because I know a lot of people leave the business better and they still end up in the Hall of Fame. I just want to leave happy, and that's all I care about. I don't want to leave at all. I want to steal his answer. I don't want to wrestle forever.
Now, leaving happy is a big thing. Like, leaving despite, you know, what successes Drew and I may have, I think we both agree that, like, we want to be happy with our own work, our own body of work, quote, life's work, you know, regardless of what happened from the beginning to now till the end, you know. As long as I can look at it and be like, I'm proud of what I did, that'd be cool. And as far as Earl, real fast, I wasn't sure, was he also part of the Jerusalem screw job? Drew, are you talking about those old matches in the Bible?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's part of many stories. Yeah. They went under many different names, but it was Earl. Like, most of the stories in there is basically Earl.
And seriously, though, but Earl's a great guy to have in our locker room. He really keeps people in line. He's a great personality, and he's full of knowledge that you would only expect from a guy who's been doing this for 8,000 years. So he's really good.
100%.
Thank you.
And as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And our next question comes from the line of Jonathan Williams with Wrestling with PopCulture.com.
Hello again. I'm back.
Hell yeah.
In regards to Bound for Glory, you've talked a lot about Ric Flair. Of course, this is being held in Charlotte. So I'm curious what you think environmental factors such as that, you know, the crowd being such a, from a town so rich in wrestling history, as well as the guest referee situation. How do you think those factors are going to play into how the match goes and the outcome of the match?
Well, we never know who the guest referee is going to be, but, you know, if it's somebody related to that, that'd be pretty sweet. But just for Charlotte, North Carolina itself, like you say, it is a, you know, place in America. It's like, there's a few places with great wrestling, like, history, rich, rich history, and Charlotte's one of them. And, you know, everybody remembers, and if there's younger kids there who watch the show today, their parents are telling them, their grandparents are telling them, like, that is a wrestling place. They appreciate wrestling more than anything. This is going to be a show. Don't expect much talking. Don't expect much segments being dragged out. Just expect 100% wrestling, especially like from our match. Expect everything, but it's a place that expects the best that you can possibly give in the ring, the highest quality. They expect drama, and we're going to give them every single possible thing we can give.
Yeah, I mean, going off of what Drew said, being in North Carolina, Flair country, I mean, you can expect our match to have, you know, I'll be throwing a lot of chops, I'll be poking a lot of eyes, I'll be raking a lot of backs, and I guarantee I'll go to that top rope and attempt a double axe handle. But I will not get thrown off. I will hit it, because I am the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, and I always hit my double axe handle.
Well, I don't know. You just told me your entire offense. That was a very smart champ.
Red herring.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Phil.
And our next question comes from the line of Mike Johnson with PWInsider.com.
All right, she got it right this time. How are you guys?
Great, Mike. How are we doing?
Good.
Good. Now, listening to this, there's obviously a lot of passion from each of you, not just about the match on Sunday, but performing in TNA specifically. As we mentioned earlier, it's been a whirlwind couple of years for TNA. How do you get the fans who have become very down on the company or very negative on the company or just snarky in general and take the passion that you guys have and get them to see it through your eyes so they're focusing on the actual product and the week-to-week product as opposed to things that could happen, might happen, allegedly happened, etc. How do we take the passion that you guys are showing here and get the audience that isn't already invested to become reinvested in TNA?
Yeah, Mike, I think that's a big thing I think that's a big thing for Drew and I, because we, you know, we've come from the other side and we've seen the business for better and definitely for worse. And you come over here and have the opportunity and have nothing but positive experiences. It's hard to fathom sometimes the negativity that comes with TNA. But I think the only thing we can do is by, you know, representing this brand, being ourselves, using that passion we're talking about right now, and continue delivering as much as we possibly can. And hopefully people open up their minds a little bit and try to watch instead of just blindly critique.
Yeah, 100%. Like, most of the time, like, I don't read many of the sheets. Like, if you started buying into all the negative comments online as a professional wrestler, you would run and jump off the first bridge you see. But the ones I see in general are usually from Twitter, and they're from people that haven't watched the show in a while. They just feel they need to chime in. Like, rather taking all this time and effort to write in a message board or write in a Twitter thing, or I wish I could think of another one because I'm not so internet savvy, but taking all this negative energy, like, just let the company hit the reset button. Like, these people aren't actually watching the show. Hit the reset button on yourself. If you truly are a wrestling fan, you're taking all this time to spew negativity, which I don't understand. I have no time for negativity in my life in any aspect. That's why I don't answer negative questions or do anything negative in my life. I just want to be positive. So I don't know why anyone would bring it into their lives. Just hit the reset button on yourself. Try and give the show a bloody chance. Like, now everybody's busting their ass. Like, everyone backstage, no one's trying to take advantage of the company for themselves. There's literally just a bunch of people doing the best they can for the company, for what they love. And if you've checked out the show, I guarantee you're going to like it. If you get a chance to go to a live show, this is where you really experience it. Live shows, like, it's night and day the difference. You go in, you can feel it. Like you're saying, Mike, you can feel that passion, you're close up. And the live experience is something else if you get the chance to go. But just give it a chance. Hit the reset button on your bloody self, for God's sake, and stop wasting time being negative and enjoy your bloody life.
Yeah, I mean, going off what Drew said about, what was I going to say? I had a really good point. I hate when brain lapsed. Hold on. Yeah. What Drew said about our talent, like, yes, there are no more ulterior motives. You know, there are no more people in business for themselves, it seems. Like, our locker room right now, as it is, as it stands, is hardworking, dedicated, passionate, and want to deliver, and just hungry for the opportunity to do it. And we have great mix of veterans, new young talent, you know. Creative's been great. I think give it another shot. I don't want to be the guy that keeps, like, how many times are they going to ask for another shot? I take pride in every damn thing I do and everything I've done in TNA. I'm proud of. So if you don't like it, well, you know, what do I do? I can't change your mind on that one. But as far as the passion our talent and locker room brings, is unparalleled.
All right. Thank you, guys. Good answer.
Yeah, buddy. I'm a politician. What can I say?
Hell yeah.
And our next question. Sorry. And our next question comes from the line of Shane Bayless with Steel Chair.
Hi there. Just kind of going back a couple of weeks in kind of the TNA timeline. EC3, you decided not to kind of step in and take a back seat during the invasion storyline and the GFW and leaving Drew to and the rest of the team TNA to save your Aunt Dee's company. Did you not feel kind of any sense of responsibility as the face of TNA to kind of stand up for the company that's been kind of entrusted to you in being the champion?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people are throwing shade at me for kind of taking a backseat to that whole little soiree, but the way I look at it is that I'm the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. First off, I'm Teflon. I can't go anywhere. Regardless of who won that war, I was there. I'm the champ. Not going anywhere. Very important. And number two, I had a very tough time, very difficult time dealing with a certain Matt Hardy who kept coming after my World Heavyweight title, whether it was a Full Metal Mayhem match or the match where our stipulation was if I defeated him, his brother Jeff became my personal assistant. And, you know, those were telling. Those took a lot out of me. That's a lot of focus I had to put on defending my World Heavyweight Championship that, as far as TNA versus GFW, you know, well, let the dogs fight it out. I'll pick up the scraps.
I don't know how I feel about that situation, champ. That little soiree, as you like to call it, could have been, a lot of changes that could have negatively impacted yourself. Inevitably, every champion's got to lose their title. And if you lost that title with the GFW in charge, who knows what Jeff Jarrett would have had you do, considering his history with a relative of yours. So I'm just glad everything worked out the way it did. I honestly didn't know the way it was going to go right up to the last second. And if Mike or anyone's listening knows what I'm talking about, I honestly didn't know which way it was going to go to the last second, but it could have gone any way. That's why it was so exciting. I like the fact that I take everything week by week just because I like to be in the moment and enjoy the moment. And I, you know, was really into that feud because I didn't know which way it was going to go. And it was a fun bit of television, let's say, but brother, could have wrecked you.
I mean, despite not like giving a good hoot and holly about the outcome of that match, I will say Lethal Lockdown delivered, and commending job to you leading that band of hooligans to victory. That's pretty cool. Way to go.
Thanks, Jim. Band of hooligans and I had a hell of an after party. You weren't invited, sorry.
I'm never invited. What's your deal with that?
No reason. It's Eddie Edwards. Blame him.
Okay. That's fair.
Thank you very much.
And our next question comes from the line of Tim Petrowski with Der Wrestling Talk Germany.
Hi, both of you. I'm back again from Germany. My question is like a female magazine question, and how is your sleep the night before your title match, and how you prepare the last 8 hours before your match?
I'd imagine I'd sleep with a nice, like an eye mask on that says champ on it. I'll probably get a good 10 to 12 hours of sleep prior to that. I believe it'll be a California king size bed at the Hilton, perhaps. Possibly early morning massage and preparation. Have Maurice, my trainer, take me through a walkthrough of our game plan for the match. Eat a steak a couple times. It'll be good. You know, go in there and that's it.
I know it might not quite be the same. I think my preparation is pretty much the exact opposite. You're being Scottish, I'll probably get there, hang out for a while. I'll probably bring my girlfriend in, and if anybody's seen some of the fighters' preparation or something involving her, we'll probably be involved in my pre-preparation the night before and the morning after. And then, after that, I'll probably hit the gym. Then, after that, I'll win the title. Then, after that, if I want to be like Ric Flair, I got to go like Ric Flair. We're going to party all night long.
Now, Drew, I really hope you do this, with, you know, the misses. I hope that does take place because it is proven by science to drain your energy. So I will remain absent.
That's true. I just read Ronda Rousey just said she does it every single night before the fight. She's destroying everybody. So if Ronda says that, it must be true. So I'm going to try it out. If I win the title, then we know why Drew won the title.
We'll see. Abstinence is best. I preach abstinence here on this conference call.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Both
did I just kill everybody?
No.
And our next question comes from the line of Matt Schwartz with Wrestling Radio Germany.
So it's really Germany, today's conference call. Earlier you guys said how much you grew as a wrestler since being in TNA. So sort of a follow-up to that, and please don't think of me being disrespectful, as I intend not to be, as I really respect the hell out of you guys. Do you prefer being a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond, or is it rather being happy to wrestle at all, whichever the pond is?
How dare you, sir? I am offended by your question.
No.
I'm just crying in the corner.
Big fish, small pond, big fish, it doesn't matter. It's all about the opportunity you're presented, no matter where you are. TNA is not as big as the WWE, that's no question about it. But worldwide, we're uberly competitive with them, and worldwide, we do great business. So it's as difficult, if not more difficult here, I would say, to really, you know, succeed. But the one thing that is given here is, you know, the opportunity. And that's all I could ever ask for. That's all I ever wanted. That's all I ever needed. And now I'm a world heavyweight champion.
Yeah, I pretty much agree 100%. It's all basically opportunity, no matter where you are. I'd say that the one thing I could add to it is the cool thing about TNA is, you know, we're kind of trying to build something up. Like WWE, it's like this sports entertainment. It's over in its own corner. If you try to compete with it, you're going to lose. But just do your own thing. There's so many wrestling companies right now doing so many different things, and it's awesome because wrestling is the healthiest it's been the entire time I remember in the past 15 years. Like, because everyone's trying to be different. Everyone's got their own thing going, and right now we're part of something. We're growing it, which is a cool thing because the harder we work, the more it grows. So we don't even think about, you know, WWE, it's over there. It's no matter what wrestlers it has coming and going, its name's going to, you know, keep it in the top forever. But with us, we have the opportunity for our talent to grow the company, and that's such a cool thing, and it makes us work 10 times harder to make this thing work and get bigger.
Yeah, I mean, being a part of something that you're going to build, you know, attempting to build, as opposed to being a gear and a machine, you know, it's kind of refreshing, and it's kind of a different challenge, and it's exciting to do it. And Bound for Glory, you know, we're gonna lay down a pretty damn solid foundation.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. And I'm really looking forward to Sunday, you guys tearing the house down.
Think about it.
Cheers.
And there are no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn today's call back over to Jeremy Barash for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ethan Carter III. Thank you, Drew. Thank you to all of folks joining us here this afternoon or evening, depending where you are. Thank you for your questions. A reminder, Impact's on tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern on Destination America. The two of you are involved in a tag team match. And Bound for Glory is this Sunday, 8 p.m., live from Charlotte, North Carolina. We're going to be live to India, live to France and the U.K. It'll air on the Wednesday, 1 week from tomorrow, 2 weeks from tomorrow, 9 p.m., 1 week from tomorrow.
Jeremy Boresh, real fast. Don't forget we're on the Flips app.
Yes.
We're on the Flips app. Don't forget that.
And we're on the Flips app. Thank you. All right, thank you very much, EC3.
UK. We're on Wednesday in the UK on Challenge TV. Don't forget, October 7th, we text you with a huge announcement for the Maximum Impact Tour.
Here we go. Hey, we got everybody's clued in. This is great. Thank you, guys. Thanks to everybody who...
professionals.
And look forward to seeing the two of you compete. Best of luck to you both at Bound for Glory this Sunday in Charlotte.
Thank
you, JB.
Thank you, everyone.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.